So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, Understanding Material Nature. Text number 5.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Contemplation on sense enjoyment. When one thinks that he is the best friend to his countrymen, to society or humanity, and he engages in various nationalistic, philanthropic, and altruistic activities, all that is just so much concentration on sense gratification. The so-called national leader or humanist does not serve everyone. He serves his senses only. That is a fact. But the conditioned soul cannot understand this because he is bewildered by the spell of material nature. It is therefore recommended in this verse that one engage very seriously in the devotional service of the Lord. This means that one should not think that he is the proprietor, benefactor, friend, or enjoyer. He should always be cognizant that the real enjoyer is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the basic principle of Bhakti Yoga. One must be firmly convinced of these three principles. One should always think that Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is the friend. Not only should he understand these principles himself, but he should also try to convince others and propagate Krishna consciousness. As soon as one engages in such serious devotional service to the Lord, naturally the propensity to falsely claim lordship over material nature disappears. That detachment is called vairagya. Instead of being absorbed in so-called material lordship, one engages in Krishna consciousness, that is, the control of consciousness. The yoga process necessitates controlling the senses. Yoga indriya samsyamaha. Since the senses are always active, their activity should be engaged in devotional service. One cannot stop their activities. If one wants to artificially stop the activities of the senses, his attempt will be a failure. Even the great yogi Vishvamrita, who was trying to control his senses by the yoga process, fell victim to the beauty of Radha. There are many such instances under one's mind and consciousness. Unless one's mind and consciousness are fully engaged in devotional service, there is always the opportunity for the mind to become occupied in desires and sense gratification. One particular point mentioned in this verse is very significant. It is said here, prasaptam asatam bhati. The mind is always attracted by asat, the temporary material existence. Because we've been associated with material nature since time immemorial, we become accustomed to our attachment to this temporary material nature. The mind has to be fixed at the eternal lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo. One has to fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, and then everything will be very nice. Thus, the seriousness of Bhakti Yoga is stressed in this verse.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Gata Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Rupa Sarvajata Sahagana Ragana Tambita Dhamsa Jiva Sadvaita Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna
suffering conditions. But apart from giving Krishna consciousness, this so-called friendship is show. Prabhupada points out in today's purport that actually they advertise themselves as the best friend, the benefactor, but actually they're simply engaged in sense enjoyment. So if we can meditate deeply on these points, as Krishna emphasizes in Gita, Bhoktaram Nukatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshvaram Sukhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantavichchati. If we can meditate deeply on this fact that Krishna, being the actual proprietor of everything, is the enjoyer of everything, and indeed the best friend of all living beings, and just become absolutely, totally absorbed in thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, and serving Krishna 24/7. That will be the perfection of our existence. We try to enjoy separately from Krishna, it doesn't work. We've been trying since time immemorial to enjoy separately from Krishna. But that's an artificial position. The hand cut off from the body cannot enjoy anything. So we artificially try to cut ourselves off from God by denying His existence, by saying that there is an impersonal oneness, or so many other misconceptions. Therefore, it's very, very essential that we hear from the Lord Himself, or for those who are from those who are purely presenting the teachings of the Lord. Because we cannot realize the Lord by mental speculation. It's not possible. Our brains are too tiny and insignificant, and the Lord is too great. His greatness is far, far beyond what we can grasp with mundane intelligence. Some say, well, I'll accept only what is rational. But our ability to rationalize is very limited. And our senses are imperfect. Our mind is imperfect. Our senses are imperfect. Our intelligence is imperfect. Therefore, if we actually want to know things as they are, it is only with purified senses. And with purified senses, one can actually experience and understand what is known. They're very proud of their scientific instruments. Yes, by our science we will understand the mysteries of the universe. We now have powerful telescopes, we have powerful microscopes, thisiscopes and datascopes. We will scope out reality with our powerful instruments. But these are simply expanding their sensual powers a little bit. But there's so much that lies beyond. There's a vast, unlimited realm of existence which lies far, far beyond what they can perceive with their senses or with the expansion of their senses, their fancy, sophisticated instruments. But we don't really need all these big, fancy, sophisticated instruments because we have instruments which are much more powerful than their most powerful instruments. And that is our purified senses. Rishikesha, Rishikina, Sayunam. Premanjana, Charita, Bhakti, Valo, Chanein, Santaksadagra, Hideyeshu, Valo, Kriyanti, Yamsham, Shundaram, Chin, Yamunasvagrupam. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahamajanim. I worship Govinda, the Prime Lord, the Purusham Sundar, Krishna Himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. If we can simply learn how to anoint our eyes, our perceptual senses, with the salve of love, then we can see far, far beyond what any scientist can perceive with his instruments. So how does one anoint one's eyes and one's senses with that salve of love? That begins with hearing. As Prabhupada himself credits his hearing as being what enabled him to preach as he was able to preach, by hearing from his spiritual master. This whole process begins with hearing, Shravanam. If one can hear qualitatively, if one can hear meditatively, if one can open one's heart and allow the transcendental sound vibrations to penetrate deep, 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 deep into one's consciousness. Then what those sound vibrations do is burn away all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, and keeping one caught up in karma chakra for millions and millions of lifetimes. So we have to learn, we have to master this art of hearing. This will bring us all perfection, simply learning how to hear very nicely. And then once we have heard nicely, we can chant nicely. Once we chant nicely, we hear nicely, we can serve nicely. And then we'll be able to remember very nicely Krishna in all times, places, and circumstances. Swadhanam. Now we're remembering so many mundane things. Our consciousnesses are so polluted with so many mundane remembrances. But as you have more Krishna consciousness, more hearing, more serving, more Krishna consciousness experiences, then because these are actually much more attractive and more relishable than anything you could ever experience in the material world, these transcendental remembrances will gradually squeeze out all the mundane remembrances. I know when I first joined, I had so many memories of mundane activities, doing this, doing that, going here, going there. And I was thinking, how am I going to get rid of all this stuff polluting my brain, all these remembrances of mundane sense gratification? But then I realized that actually every day you engage in devotional service, you're putting transcendental memories into your psyche. And gradually the other stuff gets squeezed out. Now, remember, well, I went to that Radha Yatra festival, I went to Mayapur, I went to Vrindavan, or there was that one arti that one morning, or that one Guru Puja, or that one class, or that one day on some kirtan. The more you sincerely engage in devotional service, the more your consciousness becomes filled up with all these wonderful, wonderful memories of transcendental activities. So the mundane stuff just gets squeezed out. It's not nearly as attractive. It's only superficially attractive. Sense gratification is actually poison. It may appear to be nectar, but it's actually simply poison. So when you start to experience the real nectar of Krishna consciousness, start to really taste the nectar of Krishna, the name Krishna, the person Krishna himself, the nectar of associating with Vaishnavas, the nectar of serving the deity, the nectar of circumambulating Tulsi Devi, the nectar of Anand Prasadam. The more you have these experiences, mundane stuff just kind of fades away. So we have to have faith in this process. Sometimes devotees get bored in the beginning because they're so pulled by their materialistic remembrances and their illusory feeling that they actually enjoy it in that way. So they're pulled back. We have to remember that this is simply illusion. There's no pleasure in these mundane activities. Prabhupada compares it to a drop of water in the desert. Someone dying of thirst in the desert, and you give them one drop of water in their tongue, will it save them? It will simply frustrate. One drop of water in a little eyedropper, ping. Oh, my dear sir, here's some water, you're dying for. Here, a drop of water. Will that help them? It will simply frustrate them. So, even if you can enjoy the pleasure of Lord Brahma being the chief demigod of the entire material universe, the pleasure of Brahmaji even is just a drop of water in the desert. So we have to understand the real nectar is in Krishna. That's where the real nectar is. Krishna nama charitari sitap idinya patopatata rasana sanubhichitani kim vararana vinam kavi shai vidushta sunitkarna vibhuda vidhanchi. The holy name, character and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue, when it was afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, could not taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within one's tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So it's a gradual process, as Rupa Goswami points out in his verse, in the Upadesha Shamans, it's gradual. There's a disease, you see. That disease is the desire for material sense gratification. But as you continue to chant Hare Krishna, that name becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and it squeezes out the desire for material sense pleasures. So therefore we should have faith in this process, take it very devotedly, understanding I've been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetimes. I'm not going to become a pure devotee overnight, I'm not going to see Krishna face to face overnight. But if I stick to this process, I will be able to meet Krishna personally in due course of time and regain my original loving relationship with him. So even if it takes millions of lifetimes, that's okay. Or one lifetime, that's great too. As Prabhupada confirmed, if we simply dedicate this one life, we can go back to God and be Krishna. So let us take this process very seriously, as Prabhupada has emphasized here in his purport. Seriously, enthusiastically, and joyously, let us embrace this process of Krishna consciousness as our only business in life. So perhaps there's some questions I can try to answer. Okay. If the Lord comes in your dream and gives you indication to do something, then take it seriously. Well, it could be a mental concoction also. It should be confirmed by the scriptures, by the spiritual master. How to conquer enviousness in Krishna consciousness and materialism. Prabhupada personally told me that envy, how to use envy in Krishna's service. When you see somebody is getting more mercy than you're getting, then you can try harder so Krishna will recognize you also, Prabhupada told me. As far as being envious materially, that doesn't make any sense. That means you're still thinking material life is enjoyable. Actually, you should feel sorry for those who are caught up in the material nature. To be envious of them is envious of those who are materially well situated more than you. It's insanity. When we tell ourselves that we are strong and the best to help us feel be full of positive thoughts, and how to avoid pride gets developed subconsciously. If you want to think you're the best, you should think you're the if you want to think you're the most, you should think you're the most fallen. Actually, that's the best thing. You can think but Prabhupada actually said this. He said, one devotee said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada, you're the most, and not the most anything, you're simply insignificant. So don't get proud thinking, I'm really the most fallen. I'm more humble than anybody else, because I think I'm the most fallen. You've got to look out for the false ego. It's so easy to think, I'm more humble. I feel myself lower than anybody else, therefore I'm actually higher than everybody else. So look out, just feel, as Prabhupada said, the most insignificant beggar when he signed his arrival prayer in the U.S. Just feel you're insignificant. That's the right mood to be in. For marriage, is astrology very important? I didn't consult an astrologer, and I'm having a great marriage. It was arranged by our GDC, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and it's fantastic. If a person commits the sin of killing, for example, will he get a reaction? Sure. He will also have to be killed? Yes. Will the person who kills the sinner also get sin? In this age, we don't kill the sinners. If we were to kill the sinners, we'd have to all be killed. We kill the sinful mentality by Harinams and Kirtan, book distribution, Prasadam distribution. If someone commits a sin by polluting the Ganges, what is the way to get to save yourself from reaction. What did you do? You stabbed in the country or something? Just, if you make a mistake and commit an offense to other Ganges, then you have to just beg forgiveness and don't do it again. Humans in remote tribes who doesn't have any culture or scriptures to guide them, that they get karma because they survive only on a meat diet. Yes, everyone gets karma. Ignorance is no excuse. They took that birth because they had a desire to live like that. So they get the karma. How did Hare Krishna Mantra come to the world? Golok Kera Prema Dana Hari Nama Sankirtana. It has come by the mercy of great personalities. Hare Krishna Mantra. What if I don't enjoy all devotional activities? How can I fix my mind and consciousness on devotional service? Well, don't you worry about enjoying them. You just try to do them in such a way that Krishna will enjoy them. That your spiritual master will enjoy them. You can please the Vaishnavas. That's how you'll actually be satisfied. Don't you try to be the enjoyer. You try to give enjoyment to Krishna, to Guru and Vaishnavas. That's how you will enjoy them. Is it okay to have a role model for your material life who is not Krishna conscious? It's like somebody in your office who's really successful, and you also want to be successful. There's no harm if you do that. But, if there's some material purpose, let's say you're a computer programmer or something, and the guy in the cubicle next to you, he does a better job than you at writing code, and you can dig up a few tips from him, there's no harm. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's an interesting question. Who is Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself recited Om Vishnave Namaha 3 times and declared that he, Chaitanya, is not Krishna. On another occasion, he told Krishna doesn't take avatar in Kali Yuga except as Kalki. So on what basis do you consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the incarnation of Krishna and the authoritative scriptures? Lord Chaitanya is simply Krishna in the mood of being a devotee, therefore he denied that he was Krishna. But he also revealed that he was Krishna as well in other times. I sometimes feel that if the goal of my life is to develop love for Krishna, then why get caught up in family life? Rather, I should give my life fully to the Lord. But I feel scared. Please help me in this confusion. One can remain brahmachari for the whole life, that's very auspicious. That's actually recommended to a man can do that. But if he's too much inclined for married life, then he can take married life and live as a brahmachari in married life, using sex only for procreation and raising a family in Krishna consciousness. That is also really good. Can you please explain Namavas and Shayavas, different stages of chanting? Well, there's basically 3 stages. The offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the offenseless stage. We all begin in the offensive stage. That's why we have the 10 offenses. We have to learn those offenses. We recite them, we learn them, and we strictly avoid them. By endeavoring to avoid these offenses, sincerely endeavoring, then one enters into the clearing stage, where gradually they go away. When they're completely gone, then you're a pure devotee. Your chanting is not pure. How to tolerate the envious behavior of some relatives who want to victimize devotees? But it's better to avoid such personalities. Lord Chaitanya taught asat sangatyag, give up the association of non-devotees. Based on the last sentence of the purport, seriousness of bhakti yoga is stressed here. I see the most serious personality was Maharaj Pariksit. He didn't even sleep or eat or drink 7 days and nights. But seeing himself and seeing myself, I'm so far, far away from such seriousness. So how can I be this much serious like Maharaj Pariksit? I don't think you can imitate Maharaj Pariksha. No, I can't. But it also says that as long as I have a material body, I can't be something serious due to necessities of satisfying the body, food and care. But the thing is, you don't have to imitate Maharaj Pariksha. But if you will just take whatever prasadam you need to do your service nicely, and take whatever rest you need to do your service nicely, then you can also can become a pure devotee. How to control the mind from sex desire? Keep fixing it on Krishna. Krishna, sex desire means under the influence of Kamadev or Madan. But Krishna is Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. So if you will fix your mind on Krishna, then Madan will leave you alone. It is stressed that one should hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, and it's also stressed that one should read daily. Out of these two, which is more important? But by hearing the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, you are reading daily. You're killing two birds with one stone. You're reading and you're... So Bhagavatam means you are reading Bhagavatam. By hearing it, whether you read it yourself or you hear it read to you, it's the same thing. But I have just enough time for one of them. Which should I choose? Prabhupada said we have to go to Bhagavatam class. It's his order. Prabhupada mandated we all attend Bhagavatam class. So one should attend the Bhagavatam class. And if for extra reading, I know I complained to Prabhupada as a young brahmachari. I complained. I wrote him a letter saying, Prabhupada, I don't have enough time to read. He didn't like my argument. He said, there's much time in the day for reading. And he said, what is the good of so much study without practice? So, you know, Prabhupada, kind of my case. He didn't buy my argument. So if you're really serious to read Krishna, you know, actually you can even skip a meal if you're that serious. You know. You just take breakfast in the morning and skip your lunch if you really that. That's what I get at lunch. Because as I explained the other day, there was a new when I joined, there was no such thing as cassette tapes and lecture. You couldn't hear Prabhupada's lectures unless you were sitting in one when I joined this group. And then one of the things happened, cassette tapes, Kijai. Now they're recording and they're sending out, you can subscribe to the box of entertainment and you get a wonderful envelope every week with all the latest lectures. Wow! But where's the time to sit and hear these lectures? You gotta do this. Got to do that, running, all the service we had to do. But I said, I don't need to eat that much. So I would just take a nice breakfast and skip lunch every day. During lunch, I had a Brahmacharya Ashram all to myself to hear those tapes and take notes. And I have many notebooks of all those notes I took from those tapes. So, you know, if you're really that keen to study, you know, you take a big breakfast and skip lunch. Or something like that. You know. Just an example. You can. The point is, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you want to read, Krishna will give you a way to do it. If you're really more interested in reading, you are gratifying your tongue or other things. So just be, if you're enthusiastic to read, you'll find a way to do it, I believe. I remember a year, I was so. The one time I went to a Houston temple to become the vice president, but then they decided somebody else should be the vice president, and I should be the head cook. And it was so intense because that was a temple where every devotee went on sankirtan every day, except for me. The temple president lived far away from the temple. I was all of myself, and I had to do everything, and every RT I had to offer, I had to make, you know, do everything. Cook the offerings, make up the plate, offer the RT, transfer, answer the telephone, answer the demon came to the guest, came in to take care of the guest. The whole thing was on my shoulders. And the only time I had to read was once a week when I cooked the burpee. I would stir the burpee with my right hand and hold the book with my left hand and read. Once a week I got to read while I was stirring the burpee. So, that happens sometimes. You may be in a very intense situation. But one thing I did have, that we had a cassette player, and I heard the Hyderabad temple opening address hundreds of times. And that the those words of Prabhupada went really deep in my heart, again and again. For a whole year, I just heard that. We had a couple of two or three tapes, and that was it. I was hearing it again. So Krishna will give you the facility to dive into these teachings. If you have that desire, even if you're intensely absorbed, with no time to sit down and read, you'll find a way to hear a tape while you're doing cutting vegetables. I mean, you'll find someone if you're really intense. Okay. One is destined to get what he is bound to. The thought, I might not get what I desire, daunts me. What should be done? Just desire Krishna. Why do you have any other desire? If you desire Krishna, you're guaranteed to get Krishna. You desire anything else, you may get it, you may not get it. So just do yourself a favor. Don't frustrate yourself. Desire Krishna and only Krishna. And you're guaranteed to be successful. I like devotees in Krishna consciousness, but when it comes to the association of devotees, I find it hard to appreciate devotees. Please advise how to have good relations with devotees. Every devotee is a saint. Even if they have bad qualities, every devotee is saintly. You have to appreciate the good quality of every single devotee. Just imagine, it happened one time years ago, I was doing it for our supporting our center. I was doing a business, as a travel business. And I went on what's called a fam trip, there's travel agents to Israel. And it was with all these karmis. It was just too much, you know, this whole group of karmis going to the holy places. We went to the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on the water, and, you know. But they were singing some silly song that, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless them. Singing to God, I will bless you. It is so, I couldn't stand it. But then there were some devotees in town. I didn't even know them, but I found there were some devotees in Jerusalem. So that evening I went to associate them. It was like being in the desert and coming to an oasis. So my point is, we take devotees for granted. We don't realize to have the devotees' association is the greatest blessing you could ever have in millions and billions of lifetime. To have the association of any devotee. So that week in Jerusalem, I really realized how wonderful it is to have a devotee's association, even for a few minutes. It's our life. So beat your mind with shoes. You have to appreciate every devotee's. Even one moment's association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Kai. Sadhu Sangha, Lavanta, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even one moment's association with a sadhu can bestow all perfection upon one. So realize you're dealing with people who are very dear to Krishna, and you're not appreciating them. There's some problem you're having with your consciousness. You have to learn to appreciate it. What is the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because it's Krishna himself. How should we prepare before visiting the Mayapur? Chant good rounds and follow the principles. Can Gita be taught at school children at the age of 10? Of course. Young children like toys and TV and mobiles. Mobile phones more than devotion, how to teach them. Well, my godbrother was a little boy at the time. His name was Vrtadish Das. Papa called him Mr. DDD, perfection. So his father came to Vrindavan. His father was not good. He put some toys. And he offered a little Vrtadish the toys, and Vrtadish refused him. He said, it is Maya. So Papa really liked Mr. DDD. So these children should learn to be like Mr. DDD and be more interested in devotional service than in some mundane toys. Because for the toys saving the time of death, will your little fire truck save you the time of death? Children should learn these things. Is it Krishna or Krishna I heard? Is it Krishna or Krishna or Krishna? I heard when we chant Hare Krishna. Is it Trish? Oh, we're chanting Krishna, we're not chanting the Draupadi. I want to homeschool my daughter, but I feel she'll be left out of society. What do you think? It's very good to be left out of the material society. Actually, that was a whole thing back in the 60s. We dropped out of the material society. The hippies' philosophy was to drop out of them. We call it the establishment. We want to drop out of it. We tried to start a new culture, but it didn't work. The Prabhupada gave us a real counterculture. Shajan Chodan Chanan Deed. So, Prabhupada's what age? There's one letter where Prabhupada said at a certain age they should, I forget what the age, at a certain age they should, I forget the exact age.
That can be researched in the database.
At what age they should start chanting on deeds. Student life in Melbourne is very troublesome. It is hard to cope with studies and job. It becomes really hard to live a devotional life along with this life. That's why you have to chant first, get up and chant your job first before you head out to work or to your job. If you put Krishna first, there's a wonderful, actually, Bhaktivedanta article by one of our lady devotees in Toronto. She's not initiated. She was Rashi Singh at the time. She was doing an MBA and it was really intense, really, really intense study. She came home from a hard day at school. She had an exam to study for, a paper to write, and she had her beads sitting there. She hadn't touched them all day. And she wondered, what should I do? Should I study for the exam, write the paper, chant my beads? She said, you better do the beads first. And then everything made sense. I'm studying Krishna. I'm writing this paper for Krishna. As soon as she chanted first, then everything became Krishna. So it's a very good, I never forgot that article, very nice article of Rashi Singh. First do your chantings. And then now I'm going to work for Krishna. I'm going to school for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. Because you're offering the result of that to Krishna. If you don't chant, you just get up and go to school or go to work. Then why are you doing it? You become a Buddha. How can we, as practicing devotees, live confidently in faith and not in fear? We end up focusing on our faults way too much, then fall away. Actually, it's good to see your faults. The more I can see my faults, the more I become strong in Krishna consciousness. If I think I'm faultless, I'm a very advanced devotee now, I've been around for so many years, I'm initiated, I'm really advanced, Actually, one God brother I remember, forget, many years ago in Gainesville, he announced one day, he said, they just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. Actually, he left his country shortly after, our Paramahamsa Brahmachari went back to Maya Devi's lab shortly after. So it's good to realize, I'm not a Paramahamsa. I've got a problem with lust, I've got a problem with anger, I've got a problem with greed, I got a problem with envy. I got all kinds of problems. The more you can see your problems, the more you can appreciate devotees preaching. And they point out your faults and go, well, thank you very much. You reminded me. So it's good to see your faults. That's how you become very strong. Prabhupada himself said, I have no love. I've been designated Bhakti Vedanta, but I have no Bhakti and no Vedanta. If Prabhupada says, I have no knowledge and I know love, what is our position? And Lord Chaitanya also said, he said, I have no love for Krishna. The proof is that in the separation of Krishna, I am not dying. If I truly loved him, I could die in his separation. The fact that I'm not dying proves I don't love him. So just try to be, do a little reality check and realize, we're fallen. We're very fallen. And that actually empowers you. The more you can see things as they actually are, you become empowered in Krishna consciousness. How to engage children in devotional service? By doing it yourself and engaging them with you. I remember my disciple of Vaisharan, he used to come every Sunday, open Sunday feast, bring his little kid, and he'd sit him on the side with a little toy knife. You know, he was too young to have a real knife, so he had a little toy knife and with some scraps, and they're doing his imitation cutting vegetables. You see, at the same time the father was cutting the real vegetables with a real knife. You see, so engage them in doing devotional service. Gaudiya Sampradaya says Chaitanya is Krishna. Vallabha Sampradaya says Vallabhacharya is Radha. Prabhupada, actually Lord Chaitanya chastised the founder of the Vallabhacharya, the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. He was chastised by Lord Chaitanya. How come they did not recognize each other? Boy, this is really an illusion. This question is really, you don't understand why Lord Chaitanya didn't recognize Vallabhacharya. That's really, that question is an ignorant question. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He chastised Vallabhacharya for his independent movement. He wasn't Radharani. Why are you so confident about homeschooling? People in society look at it like it's crazy. Well, I have disciples who are doing it very successfully. Their children are coming out first class. Plus we have, for example, Ravi Gupta, who came out as a big, big Sanskrit professor in the university from homeschooling. Everyone celebrates birthday, whereas we understand that today's birth is, in this material world, is punishment. So should we celebrate birthday? Actually, it's not really necessary to celebrate. Actually, birthday is celebrated by service. On Krishna's birthday, he rendered service. The idea now, the birthday cake and the little hats, you know, and then you blow them and blow it. This is a Vedic. Vedic, on your birthday, you give service. How to cut the rope of the three modes of material nature?
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
The day is the birth of Lord Jesus Christ. What should our mood be? How to be glorified Lord Jesus Christ? By becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. That is the best way of celebrating Christmas. This wonderful kirtan that Ani Gurudev led this morning, this is a fantastic Christmas celebration. You mentioned that devotees are well-wishers of everybody while helping others by hearing their problems and giving spiritual situations to get their karma. No. By helping others, you become relief from your own karma and they become relief from their karma. It's not that you become polluted by preaching. The more you preach, the more you become purified. In a few instances after counseling, I experienced polluted consciousness. Well, it can be kind of taxing to hear about everybody's problems, but it's actually, if you're taking that mood of compassion, then that's the greatest service. I know Tamal Krishmar was in India years ago. The devotees first went there, they were just pissing out of Krishna consciousness. But then Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami out to do all kinds of things dealing with karmis, and he felt he was getting polluted by that. He was in anxiety, going to meet this official, going these long taxi rides to the other side of Bombay to do this and that, and he was feeling polluted by this. He was in anxiety about it. So Prabhupada told him, he said, you just give this one life in the service of Lord Chaitanya, whatever is lacking in the time of your death, Lord Chaitanya will cover for you and take you back to Godhead. So even you'd feel some strain from, you know, to hearing other devotees' problems, being a counselor, you feel kind of pulled down by it. Just continue to do that service and Lord Chaitanya will cover for you the time of death because you've acted on his behalf. When we preach, the concept of spiritual happiness sounds very utopian to many new people. How do we explain? Instead of trying to explain, you know, like being really miserable and saying, you know, Krishna consciousness makes you really happy. Now, why don't you be blissful? Then you don't have to explain it. You see, that's how I was convinced. I saw this Vishnu John Swami came to Austin, like the Pied Piper. And we were all like, he immediately, just coming into Austin, immediately got a huge following just because he was so blissful going on. He came to the place where the hippies would hang out. It was a hippie street market. He just came there. He had no cartels, he had no mandanga, no harmonium. He just clapped his hands, started singing, and immediately attracted so many people because he was so blissful. So, trying to explain, Krishna consciousness is really blissful. Just be ecstatic. And you don't have to explain it to them. They'll experience it just by having your association. Wow, this person is so ecstatic. I want to be like that. How do I enhance the quality of my chanting? Rupa Goswami says about carefully chanting. If you chant carefully, it will naturally be enhanced. Not carelessly, but carefully. Observe your japa. Am I chanting carelessly or carefully? If you tell someone in detail about Krishna and they still do not believe in Krishna, what do you do? What do you say to make them a devotee? You can't force anybody to be a devotee. They actually are devotees already, but it's just covered by layers and layers and layers after millions and billions of lifetimes, millions and quadrillions and quintillions of layers of ignorance are now covering their devotee consciousness. You have to just help them become purified, give them prasadam. Find some way to connect them. You don't have to ask them to believe in Krishna. Just show them your compassion, your love. Make them feel good by being kind to them. And that will help them awaken their Krishna consciousness. Jesus Christ stayed in Jagannath Puri for some time. Could you please elaborate on that pastime and explain the connection? Prabhupada did cite from the Aquarian Gospel of Lord Jesus Christ at one of the Yatra festivals in the U.S. It's mentioned there that Jesus went to Jagannath Puri, he saw the Rath Yatra. There's no more details given. Why is chanting important? Because chanting purifies your heart and brings you back to your original, blissful, cognizant, fully cognizant nature as Krishna's devotee. And now the last question, let somebody on the internet, here's an internet question from West Virginia. In the U.S. What do you tell someone who thinks you're being brainwashed by a cult? Well, there's different ways you can say it. Actually, our brains are dirty, they need washing. That's one thing you can say. But actually, this is not a brainwashed cult. We are educating people to actually understand what is real. This whole material society is a brainwashed cult. They're brainwashing you and thinking that you're your body. We are actually deprogrammers here. We are deprogramming you for the brainwashing that the material society did on you. So no, we're against brainwashing. We help you become free from the influence of brainwashing. So here's another one from India, Lila Manjari Devi Dasi. Does unalloyed, unmotivated devotional service, a high kathiyatatiya, come in Krishna prema stage only? Well, even a neophyte has a certain percentage of it. It becomes 100%. Prabhupada explains that the asakti stage, he mentions in the Nairabhati Sutra, when one comes to the stage of the sati, then becomes completely pure. So we're getting some percentage of it even in the beginning, but it's not pure until you reach the asati state, which is the gateway into bhava and then praying. Okay, now the last question. See, I don't think there's anyone in the beginning. Let's check that real quick. Yeah, Shamakunya from South Africa. How do we cultivate the ability to hear qualitatively to enable us to chant and serve very nicely? Same point I just made. Carefully chant. Let's see. Alexander. Oh, there's a bunch of questions. Alexander. Me and my daughter on the facing situations of violence. Wherever we go, most of the time we are witnesses of crimes of all sorts. I wonder what country that is. Oh.
She's from London.
Huh? What?
She's from London.
In London? In Krishna protects us, we're always dear days. Some days it's too much for us to wonder how we can serve Krishna in those situations and help people to not preach. Why is this happening to us daily? We never feel scared because we know Krishna protects us. But could we tell us, or could you tell us, which... So I wonder why they're putting all these difficult situations. Actually, whatever situation any of us are put into is all orchestrated by Krishna himself for the purpose of purifying our consciousness and bringing us back to him as soon as possible. So if you understand that actually everything, as Prabhupada told us on his deathbed in Vrindavan, he said, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So one has to see that. And then you see Krishna acting in it, and you'll never be afraid, and you'll expertly deal with every situation. Now the last one. As it is Krishna's, today, can you please elaborate on our relationship, on the relationship shared between Christ and Krishna? Christ is a pure devotee of Krishna. In fact, the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which is derived from the Sanskrit word Krishna, which is another way of saying Krishna. So there's a very intimate connection between Lord Jesus Christ and Krishna. Christ is a pure devotee of Krishna, but he could not teach on the intimate aspects of the science of bhakti to those people. He just gave them very elementary understandings, and even that got him killed. So we worship Lord Jesus as a pure devotee of Krishna. Personally, I was actually studying the Bible to understand what was the perfection of Christ in consciousness and how could I achieve that same consciousness. So I feel a very strong connection with Jesus because Jesus helped me become a devotee of this movement. Because there's really no difference between Christ consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Of course, the people, the so-called Christians, don't understand that. Now I have some Christian arguing with me the teachings that the Buddha teaches against the teachings of Christ. He says, you're teaching reincarnation, a special diet. That's not Christianity. That's not what Jesus said. But this is, they don't understand Christianity. The Christians don't understand Christ. Their understanding is wrong. They think Christ, a Christian can eat anything, even meat, even cow. They go to church and they go to McDonald's after the church service. I mean, they don't understand, but they don't really understand Jesus Christ. But we understand Jesus Christ as Prabhupada revealed to us. But it's an untrue understanding of Jesus Christ. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. 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 J